to you, O Lord.
I've asked several people to help with the reading of the gospel, to help remind us that the Word of God is with us, it is among us, and it is alive. Jesus said, "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you.
If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also.
And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt.
Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again.
Do to others as you would have them do to you.
If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them.
If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same.
If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again.
But love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful.
Do not judge, and you will not be judged.
Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned.
Forgive, and you will be forgiven.
Give, and it will be given to you.
A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap.
For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the children to come up. Hi, guys. Have you ever had somebody do something mean to you?
Yeah.
Have you? What did you want to do? Maybe that's telling. Did you ever feel like you wanted to get back at them? That's what it feels like. You know what Jesus tells us today? He says, let me take care of that. It's hard to do, though, isn't it? To let go when somebody does something bad. What do you think Jesus is talking about when he says, love your enemies? Do you think about loving your enemies? Do you have any enemies? Oh, you guys don't have any enemies. That's good. But the day might come when you might, and Jesus says, love them. That's hard. Are there people you in your class you really don't like? What do you do about them? Ignore them? What do you do? You don't know? Well, you have to think about it. Next time you're with them, What does Jesus tell you when you've got somebody who's just not really a friend, but not really somebody you want to be around? In the gospel, he says, love them and pray for them. Doesn't that sound strange? It does. Well, why don't we pray for those people who are different than we are? Shall we? Gracious God, we thank you that you give us all that we have and all that we are. And we thank you even for our enemies. We ask you to bless them so that they no longer are our enemies, so that now they become our friends. Bless us, Lord, so we can bless others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Two boys were raised in the same home, same parents. Both boys were abused, not just by the father, but also by the mother. One of them went on and received some counseling and became a blessing to everybody else, many other people who were abused. The other one decided to drown his hurt and pain in alcohol and drugs. Two girls raised in the same home, same parents. One of them became a doctor. The other one became the town prostitute. Five children raised in the same home with the same parents. One of them became a pastor. One of them became a nurse. One of them became a mechanic. One of them became a teacher. Well, how many have I got there? Anyway, the last one, we're up there, okay, and the last one became a wanted criminal. Now, how can this happen? Children raised in the very same home, and I would guess that everybody here knows of families just like that, where you've got one or more who are kind of the black sheep, who are doing the opposite of what all the others are doing. And it just does not make sense. Why would this happen? Why could this happen? What causes it? We really don't know for sure, but my guess is, based on our scriptures, is that it's the choices that people make. We choose the path that we're going to take. Now, if you can, imagine yourself to be, say, a 13, 14-year-old boy. You are really smart. You are your dad's, the image of your dad's eye. You are perfect in every way. And your mother pampers you beyond belief. But your brothers and sisters hate your guts. In fact, they hate you so much that when the opportunity arrives, they dump you in a big hole and then sell you as a slave to slave traders who take you to a land you've never been to before, you don't know anything about. In fact, you don't know the language. It doesn't seem like it could get any worse. And yet, you rise to the top and become a leader. And everything is going really well when all at once, under a false accusation, you end up in a prison. Now, this isn't a nice little jail cell like what we might have here in Buffalo. This is a pit. It is where people are thrown to die. It isn't cleaned out more than once a year. It's the garbage. It is the cesspool. It is the toilet. That's where you are kept. But you're smart. And you rise to the top again. And all at once, you catch the eye of the Pharaoh. That's what happened with Joseph. Everything was going against him, and it seemed like nothing could go right, and yet, each time he rose to the top, each time what looked bad became something far better. He rises to the point where he is second in command to Pharaoh. He has the power and the authority to do absolutely anything he wants in that land. And then it happens. The brothers who sold him into slavery are there. Now, there are two sides to this. We know that he has the absolute authority and power to have them tortured to the point where they're crying for death. He has the authority even to have their heads chopped off. He has that ability. But look what Joseph does. When the brothers arrive, Joseph is so overfilled with joy that he has to leave the room to weep. And when he comes back, he doesn't point the finger at them and tell them how bad they are or send them to prison. But instead, he says, this wasn't your doing. This was God's doing. God brought me here so that I could save our family. Now, that is a strange story, isn't it? But that's the story that leads us into the rest of the scriptures for today. For that is what we are called upon to keep in mind. Joseph reminds me of another young boy, a little shepherd boy, who went through all kinds of horrible things. He was talented. In fact, so talented that the king had him play soothing music for it. He could have had everything. And yet, the king turns on him and he is a hunted man. And it looks like this is a man who would say, God hates me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll go eat worms. Sounds like a song, doesn't it? But look at the psalm that we read today. Read that again when you get home. In fact, I would suggest you read the whole story of Joseph again, because it's a powerful reminder for us of what God is calling us to do. But in this psalm that we had today, reminds me of another psalm of David, which is one of my favorites, Psalm 103, where David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives my sins. He redeems my life from Sheol. He blesses me with every good gift so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Despite what all he's gone through, he can praise God for that. Another guy we read about today is the Apostle Paul, who has gone through everything. He had it all good, and then everything fell apart when he got knocked off his donkey and on the way to Damascus. And then things started to fall apart when he met Jesus. His old life died. And he tells us today about what the difference is in our own lives. Because we are living in the old Adam, full of sin, and it's nothing but dust. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. We'll hear that on Ash Wednesday again and again. That's all we are. But there is a new Adam who wants to live within us. The new Adam who brings new life. This Adam accepted the torment and the suffering and the temptations of humankind. And still, even on the cross, what is his message? One of his last words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If anybody would have the power and the clout, you know, at that very moment, he could have just said, forget it, and called down a legion of angels and punished people. but instead he accepts our pain and our suffering. And in our gospel, he leaves with us a powerful message. Our Bible study this past week was on the Lord's Prayer. And most of the people who were at that will tell you it is one of the most powerful lessons. But what Jesus says in our gospel today, it sounds kind of like it's upside down. It's upside down for our world. In fact, our world has a big lesson to learn. In the book that I wrote, my theme was violence begets violence, peace begets peace. What Jesus says is, love your enemy. That sounds, how can you love somebody you hate? Love your enemy. Do good to those who hate you. Boy, that's powerful stuff. In our world today, we want to do the opposite. We want to bomb them to smithereens. We want to tear them apart. But Jesus says, love them. Do good to them. Don't hurt them. Bless those who curse you. Oh, it's hard to, when somebody's cursing you, what do you want to do? The human thing, the old Adam in us says, I'd like to curse them right back. Jesus says, bless them and pray for those who abuse you. Powerful lessons for us to learn. And a hard lesson because we live in a world that wants to do the opposite. Yet, if we're going to truly be Christians, we truly have to live as Jesus teaches us to live. That's true life. To be able to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. In all that I say, in all that I do, in every part of my life. Because then, we truly will be love. Jesus says several times, and from the Bible study, we were reminded that Jesus points out that we are to forgive even as we have been forgiven. And in a later place, he says, if you have something against your neighbor, leave your gift at the altar and then go make peace. Because if you cannot forgive somebody whom you see, God can't forgive you. Isn't that what we pray in the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our sins, our debts, our trespasses. Forgive us. How? We even pray it. And it's almost, if you really listen to that prayer, it puts goosebumps on you and you say, oh, I don't know if I can say that second part. Am I really willing to be forgiven as I have forgiven? Forgive me my sins as I forgive those who sin against me. That's what Jesus calls us to, so that we can live a full and complete life. Because without it, we have this cloud hanging over us. The love of God can't come through that cloud if we are the ones who create it. May we let the light of Christ shine in so that the healing love of Christ can